St. Augustine and St. Bede, when they comment on this gospel, they take the last question and they tie it to prayer. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? And the link between the two is, faith is what should move us to prayer. And so it seems like an ominous question. When Jesus comes back in time, will there be no one to run out to meet him? And the answer depends. It depends on what we're doing. Are we following Christ already? Then we will. St. Paul giving St. Timothy the direction that applies to each and every one of us. Remain faithful to what you have learned and believed, because you know from whom you learned it. And so it's so important then for us to ask the Lord to deepen our faith. And all through life, we get an opportunity at certain junctures. You know, the major sacraments are major parts of our lives. And then, of course, the two that are repeated regularly, the Most Holy Eucharist and confession. These are great opportunities for us to grow closer and closer to Christ. And then there are other ways, other things that happen in life. You know, a few years ago at Capon, and now at Bishop Carroll and the other two high schools in our diocese, they started these retreats for the juniors called Kairos. And when you get a little older as a priest, you don't always sign up to do things like you used to when you were young. And so Father Joseph, he's young, so he signed up to drive all the way to Great Bend and hear confessions. But then he couldn't do it, so he asked me to do it. And so Friday night, I had the opportunity to drive out to Great Bend. And, of course, hearing confessions is always still, even after you've been a priest for a long time, I consider it one of the greatest things I do every week. And so it really wasn't that big a deal to drive out to Great Bend, because then the Lord allowed me to witness something so beautiful. These juniors in high school not only made their confessions, but they also had this time of adoration. And the convent chapel is odd in a certain way. So the kids are sitting all around. The altar is right in the center of the convent, of the chapel. But you could just see on their face that they were having an encounter with Christ. Because that's what that whole retreat is about. To have an encounter with Christ that then impels you, if you will, to make a change in how you live. It doesn't mean they're living wrongly. But you can see Christ calling them to something deeper. And it's all done in this context of prayer. And of course, the bedrock of it is their faith in Jesus Christ. And all of us who have already been through high school, we know that sometimes in high school, it's not always easy to believe in everything that the Catholic Church teaches. I remember teaching high school and the kids used to complain, we have so many rules. And I said, you're right, we do. But we don't follow the rules because there are rules. We follow Jesus Christ. And we recognize that when we love him, it doesn't mean all the rules are always easy, but it changes the whole reason why we follow the rules. You know, similarly, on a wedding day, when a husband and wife exchange their vows, the priest doesn't say, now you do know this means you're not going to be dating anybody else, you're not going to have anybody but this person, and that would not make the couple unhappy because they're joining their lives together and they don't desire anyone else but each other. And while it's different, there's a similarity in our relationship with Christ. He loves us so much that he desires us more than anybody else in the whole world. And then he gives us the help so that we can love him back. He doesn't just want our own love. He actually wants the love that he put into our souls at baptism and that he enriches every time we grow in grace. That's the love he wants back. And that's the love that gives us the ability to persevere when things are difficult. And we need that because things are difficult. When you follow the crucified Christ, we already know because he told us that we also have to carry a cross. And many times we do exactly what he did, and we should. We can get down on our knees and say, Lord, let this cup pass from me. But not my will, but thine be done. And when we say that, then we follow that with asking his help. There's not one cross that anybody has that he won't help us to carry. We're not doing it alone. We're not going out blazing a new trail, but we're uniting our sufferings to his. And that's the beautiful thing about being a Catholic, is that we understand that suffering is redeemed. It doesn't mean suffering in and of itself is good, but by Christ doing what he did and rising from the dead, he's redeemed everything in our lives. There's nothing that we can't join to him. And so that's why we listen to this gospel, and I hope that we're not discouraged when the Lord says, when he comes back, will he find faith on the earth? Because he will, if we cooperate with the graces he's offered. And so maybe he won't come back for 1,000 years, and maybe he'll be here tomorrow morning. But we should ask him every single day to give us perseverance, to allow us to be formed by the scriptures and by the tradition of the church, to allow us to open our hearts to be faithful to him. And when we live that love of Christ, you've heard me say this many times, it changes the world. If we're ever discouraged about what can happen in this world, we can go right back to apostolic times and realize that the beginning of the total transformation of the world started with 12 men and a sinless mother. And we still have them advocating for us in heaven, praying for us, interceding for us so that we can be faithful to Christ like they were. The apostles weren't always perfectly faithful. Our Lady was. And you and I won't be always perfectly faithful. But then we can ask his mercy. And when we ask his mercy, it helps us then to share that mercy with other people. Because at the end of the day, what the world needs most is the mercy of Jesus Christ. And to have that mercy, to receive that mercy, first means to recognize who we are, sinners, in need of that mercy, and then who we become, brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ and children of the Father. And so we can persevere, just like the widow in the gospel, but we're not persevering against an unjust judge, we're persevering with and for the one who is all-loving, all-good, and all-merciful.